Humming and Healing, Jonathan Goldman with us. His latest book is called The Humming Effect, and we'll be back with your calls in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you along with Jonathan Goldman. And Jonathan, I'm getting lots of emails about folks who want to know about this 20th annual World Sound Healing Day. Tell us about this again.
Well, George, it's a great opportunity for all of us to like co-actively use sound or experience sound to assist, shall we say, the vibrations of Mother Earth. Bottom line is that there is a science involved in the whole thing, and that is the fact that we can, with our intention and our deep breathing and our sound, literally amplify our electromagnetic field, our geomagnetic field, 50 to 500, even some people say 5,000 times greater when the heart and the brain are in coherence. And so the idea is, what if thousands of people throughout the planet could be projecting, I like to say, a sonic Valentine to the Gaia consciousness, to Mother Earth, you know, on the same day? And that's the basic idea. And just people can go there, and there is this events portal that we created. It's not a seminar. It's not a festival. You can literally post something on there and do it, or you can go to one of the hundreds of different events and experience it and co-create World Sound Healing Day.
They're like workshops, right?
More like musical presentations. We've got a Tibetan monk doing chanting. We've got an award-winning poet doing poetry. We've got all sorts of things. We've got people, crystal bowls. We've got musicians, chamber orchestras, EDM disc jockeys, all sorts of different music. It's just done with the intention of gratitude, kindness, and compassion. That's the key. If we can be in gratitude, kindness, compassion, we can change the world.
Jonathan, does it matter when one should do the humming, daytime, nighttime? Does it matter?
In terms of what we were talking about before?
Yeah.
I personally do it when I, you know...
In the morning?
Myself, other people do it at night. You know, do it when it's convenient. As my wife says, even if you just do it for a minute a day, it'll make a difference. I do it 5 minutes a day, and I would suggest that the really big key thing is, if you're going to do it for 5 minutes, allow yourself to sit in a chair, sit in a place where you won't be disturbed, and then allow yourself 5 minutes to be in silence, because the effects can be so profound that you will be so either blissed out or, shall we say, almost psychotropic, that you won't want to get up and you won't be able to get up. So if you need to pick up your kid at school or whatnot, allow yourself 5 minutes to ground. I like to say that silence is the yin to the yang of sound.
I love that. Okay, let's take some calls here for you. This hour is going to fly by. Let's go to Jeff in Billings, Montana to get us started. Hello, Jeffrey. Thanks for calling.
Hey, how are you?
Great.
Thanks for taking my call. This interview is really resonating with me.
I love that.
I have a story to share. It talked a little bit about restoring neural pathways through music, and I have some story to go along with that. I actually played music in a hospital for several years. I started doing it after I had a bout with cancer, and I started playing on the oncology floor for patients. Because it helps to relax patients and can ease the pain. And being alone in a room with pain is, like, horrible. And so the music helps with that, and just spending time with people. One day the chaplain said, hey, I have a patient over on the neurology ward for you to see. And I've been there before. I actually have a lot of other stories with stroke patients and helping them with music. But this particular patient had... been crossing the street and got hit by a truck, and had been in a coma for like 4 weeks or so, and had woke up out of it and been awake for a couple weeks, wasn't making any progress, but they'd moved him out of the ICU and up to this recovery floor. So they started having me play music, and the chaplain had said that, yeah, he has a music background, and I play a mountain dulcimer, and the chaplain said that this guy probably knows what a mountain dulcimer is because he's done bluegrass. So just surrounding with some familiar stuff, like a dulcimer and music and stuff,
yeah.
they were getting nowhere with this patient. And so they thought, well, some surrounding with some familiar stuff, and music might help. So I started playing some music, and then I decided, well, you know, Amazing Grace is a really common song, and so something familiar. So I started playing Amazing Grace, and so I started singing along, and I thought, well, that's great, because I don't know all the words to it. And so I'm playing, and he's singing, and the nurse, like, grabbed a bunch of other nurses, and then the room was packed with nurses, and they said, well, why don't you play Amazing Grace again? And I'm like, well, sure. So I played it, and the patient sings some more, and I thought, well, this is pretty cool. And so after I was done, the chaplain took me aside in the hallway, and he said, you know, a miracle just happened. And I'm like, what? And the chaplain said, before you set foot in that room, due to the patient's injuries, before you walked into that room, that man could not speak.
Wow. And now he's singing for you.
Yeah, he started singing, and apparently just playing music. I don't know if the music is processed in a different part of the brain than language is processed, and maybe that part wasn't damaged, and somehow it made a bypass. But after that, we had different people playing music for him, like, every day, multiple times a day, and this gentleman progressed really rapidly after that, and started speaking, and made a full recovery after that, after nothing else was working.
That's amazing.
And then after that, the hospital actually fast-tracked a music therapy program, and it's implemented as part of their standard care.
How do you explain that, Jonathan?
Jeff, what a beautiful story. My heart is really full from that. There are just so many different stories like that of the incredible healing power of music and sound. I could say some myself, except as an explanation, I have some thoughts. Literally, there is a, but I'm not going to get into it. I just want to, there's something called melodic intonation therapy, where people can literally, who have had strokes, who can literally sing words, but they can't speak it. So, Jeff, like what you sort of did inadvertently was working with that and more, and it's just a beautiful story. So, I think scientifically, rather than try to go there, I just want to applaud you and say thank you.
It is a great story. Next up, we go to Joe, Long Island, New York. Hey, Joseph, go ahead.
Yeah, Jonathan, one of my questions, a question and a couple of comments, actually. My question would be, some of the stuff resonates with people that don't or rarely would listen to it. You know, they would just focus on rock music or something like that. Yet this music does it for them. And then also when you use, like, say, for example, Sleep to the Sounds of a Jungle, yet some of these people never went to a jungle, yet that still works for them. And then my comment is Bob Dylan. I think his voice is probably below average, although it fits for some of his songs. And I think, like, if a great singer sings some of his songs, that they're actually better. And also, you said something about nitrous oxide. It's interesting that a woman was given Viagra that had the COVID that was just about dead, and now she's okay. But they said it was from the nitrous oxide aspect of that Viagra that revived her.
Nitric oxide, actually. Interesting.
Nitric, but that's it.
I like Bob Dylan's music now. I didn't appreciate him when I was younger.
Really quick story?
You know something. Go ahead.
Oh, no. So I'm in sixth grade. Turns out my uncle was vice president of CBS Records, and he knew that I liked music, and he sent me this box of albums. You remember those when they had record albums?
Yeah.
And I went through them, and there were all these things. I fell in love with this one album that was called Introducing Ravi Shankar. It was incredible. I'd never heard the sitar, and it just took me to another dimension. I put on this one recording, and it was the worst recording I ever heard in my life. This guy couldn't sing, and it was just whatnot. And I basically said, nowhere. Of course, it was, you know, introducing Bob Dylan or whatever, the freewheeling Bob Dylan. Yeah. Isn't it interesting how different things resonate with us, George?
Yeah, absolutely. It really is. Tom, text and tweet for Jonathan. What do you have?
Yeah, Jonathan, this is from Katrina in Kentucky, and she says, can you please ask your guest what he thinks of satanic backwards masking and if recording artists have really done this?
So I know about that. I'm laughing because I'm going, is it really necessary to backwardsly mask any sort of message when stuff is so blatantly
obvious,
you know, forward? So I say probably it's been done, but like it doesn't make it any more effective. In fact, it would probably make it a whole lot less effective than what's said. So, I mean, I believe it's certainly possible. I believe there's all sorts of subliminal stuff, but is that necessary these days?
What does that mean, by the way, backward masking?
Okay. Believe it or not, there was a book on backward speech where this guy took a speech like Neil Armstrong's
David Oates.
Right, and, you know, you listen to One Small Step for Man, you listen to it backwards, and it's Neil Armstrong going, I'm walking on the moon. So this is crazy. And if we're actually subliminally saying stuff backwards at the same time that we're saying stuff forwards, well, let's go talk about multiple dimensions and, you know, get off this planet. I don't know what to say. Okay.
Absolutely. It's fantastic. Now, when you were talking about the kind of music to heal people, how do we know you're making the right one and you being rhetorical?
Well, you know, I mean, really, George, I think that any music, depending upon the time and the space and the need of the individual. Just as a real quick story, you're talking about Boulder. I used to live up at the top of this extraordinary windy road that I think was one of the 10 most dangerous roads in a place called Rollinsville, which is past Nederland. And I remember getting out of teaching at a school of sound that I was doing here in Boulder and having to drive up in a snowstorm. And I knew that at that particular time that I really needed to be focused because, you know, I didn't want to go off the road and plunge a whole lot of, you know, hundreds or thousands of feet off the road. And I basically first started trying to put on some chill music that I had, and I started losing my focus of attention. So I basically opened up the window. I cranked the Rolling Stones as loud as possible, and it got me there. Because here's the thing. Loud music can cause the opposite. It causes the triggering of the fight or flight response.
That's right.
Which normally you don't want, but if it's late at night and you're trying to stay awake, you can bet you that that's healing under those circumstances.
That's a good point. Let's go to Louise in Louisville, Kentucky. Hello, Louise.
Hello, George. Thank you for accepting my call.
Sure.
I have two questions. One for the guest. What is the reason for the God spirit healing among the body? When you hear black spiritual music, it makes you have chills. And the second question is, does he know Florence Beatrice Price, the classical lady who wrote classical music? They play her music all the time on the U of L classical music station.
I'm not sure. Florence Price, have you heard of her?
I have heard of her, and I cannot give you a reason for why I'd like to suggest that God spirit being in the music is a combination of the wonderful harmonies and wonderful voices and also the intentionality and the openness to the divine, and that's what causes it.
And what about this spiritual music?
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, okay.
You know, in other words, they're open. They're singing to the divine, and you know, whether it is gospel or whether it's this and that, I find the sacred music of throughout our planet gives me chills. And it doesn't matter the tradition, doesn't matter if I believe in it or not. I think that these people believe in it, and it's encoded in the music, and that's the sort of thing that can change the water molecule and make mud look like a crystal.
What has been the most dramatic thing you've seen happen with all these things we've been talking about tonight, Jonathan?
George, I've seen things that I always say that the video cameras are never rolling when the really cool stuff is. I had this one neat experience when I was down in Palenque, and I made this sound. There were about a half a dozen people, and it was a totally darkened room, and the room became illuminated. That's one example of something, but just all sorts of other things. I've seen all sorts of chronic terminal conditions disappear. But once again, you know, who knows exactly why this stuff is? I think there are things that are occurring on a multidimensional level that far transcend any sort of explanation we can give, even if we get into quantum physics.
First-time caller JP in Ventura, California. JP, you are up.
All right, right on. Hey, thanks for the thanks for taking my call this evening.
Sure.
I'm like a Led Zeppelin fan talking to Robert Plant right now when I get the chance to chat with Jonathan. It's pretty awesome. But I had a question earlier. I heard the comment that he had made about Sinatra, the bumper music that you had, and he mentioned something about encoding, and that gets me. I'm a recording engineer, so I'm in that world of like, how do you inspire people, and what is that talent, what is that magic thing? And so I have Chakra Chance from 98, so it's just been one of those records that gets heavy rotation. It's a high bar as far as the sonics of that record. It just sounds amazing on a recording studio system, right? So, and I remember reading at one point that Jonathan, you said something about every time, every take that you did for that record, you projected energy into that chakra before you did that take. And I was wondering if you could just elaborate a little bit more on that. And just a side note, Somatics and John Stuart Reed would be an amazing show. And maybe if Jonathan, you have any input on Somatics or John Stuart Reed or any of those guys as well. So I'll take my answer off the air, and thanks.
All right, thank you.
Thank you. Beautiful. Four questions. Somatics. Well, the actual pioneer of somatic therapy, Dr. Peter Guy Matters, was one of my great teachers. Now, somatics is basically creating and shaping water with sound, and John Stuart Reed has been doing wonderful work. He actually studied with me for a while, and he's a wonderful scientist over in England, and he's been doing some brilliant work taking blood and then exposing blood to certain types of music with intentionality and finding that the blood actually is regenerated from it. He used one of my recordings, Reiki Chants, and found that had very, very positive effects on the music and the, not on the music, on the blood cells. And also, bottom line is he also worked with just working with intentionality on the blood cells and the regeneration of the blood cells, and it wasn't as powerful as the music with the intentionality, the intentionalized music, but it did affect.
Okay. All right, great. We're going to come back in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM and take final phone calls. Don't touch your dial. We will be right back. We're going to come back in a moment with Jonathan Goldman and take final calls here on Coast to Coast AM. On our next program, Bill Bean joins us to talk about the other side on Coast to Coast, so make sure you're part of the program. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie back with our final segment with Jonathan Goldman as we talk about the humming effect, sound healing for health and happiness. Jonathan, what would you say was the point where you saw this and went, wow, it really works? What was the episode?
Oh, George, my memory banks are too full of all sorts of different things. I can't come up with one particular thing because I began to see so many different extraordinary events that occurred that it's a great question. I don't have a good answer for you on that one.
But it's unbelievable, isn't it, how it just seems to work?
Well, if you can rearrange molecular structure with sound, and I've seen all sorts of molecular structure being rearranged, so to speak, then I've seen all sorts of impossible things. Now, once again, the video cameras are not there, so it's hearsay. It's my telling stories or whatnot, or people saying, well, yeah, I was there and I saw that too. But, perhaps something else is going on, but it does really work. It's really extraordinary. And I wanted to tell you one real quick thing, which is that I was talking with a very renowned neurophysicist who works with researching music. And I said, what's the one thing that you've gotten from all your research? And he said, well, you know, you can have all the doctors and all the X, Y, and Z telling you what music is best for you and what music has the most positive result, but there's nothing like the music that you like.
That's exactly right. And everybody has different tastes.
Exactly.
Everybody. Let's go back to the calls. Marion's with us in the state of Washington, west of the Rockies. Hi, Marion. Welcome.
Hi. I don't have a question, and I don't have a lot to say, but I had to call because first I want to thank you, George, because I love your show.
Well, thank you.
And so I wish so many more people will tune in more. But I'm so excited I can hardly talk, and that's why I'm not going to say much. But I did want to say this to Jonathan that, I mean, I've been working with music all my life. I'm a dancer, and I've also been, studying about the effects of music itself on the body and on the brain. And I never tried just humming, you know, one note. And I've listened to really extraordinary music, and I felt the effect of it. And tonight, I thought, well, it's not going to have that much effect on me. And when I did what you told us to do, it was phenomenal. And I've been healing an injury, a fracture in my spine. And it was so painful tonight. And I'm almost in tears. And the music that you played was so incredible also, as well as the humming. The pain went away in my spine.
Wow.
And when I did one hum, and I couldn't even do more because I felt so incredible. I just wanted to experience how I felt. So I just wanted to call and tell you, both of you, that.
Thank you. There you go, Jonathan, a testimony of another person.
George, it's real, and that's why I love sharing this stuff, because people really experience such a positive benefit, and that's my purpose, is to help, you know, bring positive benefits of sound to people. So thank you so much.
Let's go to your neck of the woods, Denver, Colorado. Mike's with us. Hey, Michael, go ahead.
George, good morning. Great to be with you.
Good morning, you too.
Jonathan, I have to tell you, I am so excited for this interview. There's been so many good moments in this interview tonight. Thank you for your insight and sharing this with all of us, first of all. And I had a quick, just kind of a question. So I wanted to focus my question on neural pathways. You know, they are the basis of your habits of thinking, feeling, and acting. You know, they're what you believe to be true and what you do. And, you know, I saw you said that humming, you know, the humming techniques have the ability to kind of open or enhance those neural pathways. I was wondering if you could just kind of walk us all through how that works. How does the humming open those neural pathways?
I have this great, thank you so much, first of all. And second of all, I have this wonderful chapter in The Humming Effect called the Humming Hypothesis, which I wrote when I was really in a, pardon the metaphor, but a left brain state of consciousness for an explanation, except simply it's resonance. You're resonating a part of the brain with the sound and with your intentionality. It's that simple and that profound.
And it just seems to work, doesn't it, John?
George, it's crazy. I can tell you that people were using it for PTSD and all sorts of other stuff. But I just like to suggest that this is something that everybody can do. Everybody can do it.
It's easy.
It's easy. Try it. What do you got to lose? And it might change your life.
I'm still baffled at how, when you pinch your nostrils, no sound comes out of your mouth.
I got that from a kid's book called All About Sound that I read. So that only in a kid's book about sound could you find something like that.
Let's go to London, Ontario, out there in Canada. Marcel is with us. Marcel, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Thanks for taking my call as well. On a side note, having chanted Om for many years, that M ending to Om is quite powerful. And there's another meditation technique where if you plug your ears while you're humming, it's like every cell in your body is resonating to that hum frequency you're generating. But I did want to bring your attention to someone called Anthony Holland. He has a TED Talks video on YouTube, and it's called Shattering Cancer with Resonant Frequencies. And they studied every frequency, and they found that 440 hertz, or per second, pulses per second, is the most effective on shattering cancer cells. Now, he actually has video footage, microscopic video footage, of cancer cells being
bombarded,
shattered. Now, there is a company called Histosonics who have a sort of ultrasound device that generates that frequency into your body, into your skin, using sound waves. And I'm just wondering if your guest has any knowledge technically on how to get that 440 hertz, or whether it's through listening to it or having it pumping your body through some kind of device, if you knew any more.
Listen, if I can, real quick, first of all, what you're describing in terms of blocking your ear while you're doing the om and the hum, that is the Brahmari Pranayama that I was talking about before. That's a wonderful technique. And I know Anthony Holland. I know his work with that. He's working actually with really, really high ultrasonic frequencies that are almost falling into the microwave range. So they're not within the audible frequencies. And a lot of people have misunderstood a lot of the information that he's got in the TED Talk. So I'd just like to suggest that there are two ways that sound can be used to heal. One is called constructive, where you basically reinforce the vibrations of an organ, and you make it healthy. And the other is deconstructive, which is shattering the virus or whatnot. A fellow by the name of Royal Rife did this 100 years ago. Anthony Holland's doing it now. Most of them are doing it with radio frequency waves, which are not quite the same as sound frequency waves. This is a whole another thing. But I'd say that just working with your intention, your own sound, can be an amazing phenomena.
And 440 hertz, that's part of a musical tuning thing, too,
yeah,
isn't
it? That's actually not the frequency. That's not correct information. 440 is an A on a guitar or a piano.
Right.
And it's a wonderful note.
What's 432?
That is another frequency of A that a lot of people believe is a magic frequency. It is my belief that there is no magic frequency. And people are always looking for, as sound gets on and on, people are always looking for the magic frequency. George, I'd like to say that we live in a smorgasbord of sounds, all of which have different abilities for us depending upon the time and the space, and that looking for the magic frequency, it's not going to get you anywhere. It's just like the idea that penicillin works for everybody. It doesn't.
It does not. Ray Don's with us in California. Hello, Ray Don. Go ahead, sir.
Hi, I just wanted to say that
you're not sure.
I heard that the purring of a cat can be very healing.
Huh?
And sometimes when my kitty starts purring, I sort of start humming along, and it just relaxes me. And sometimes I just fall asleep. Of course, not getting close to close.
I love that. And what do you think of the cat purr? Jonathan.
Well, hilariously, there's actually been the research to show that cat purrs help mend broken bones. And cat purrs also, yeah, they fall within the sweet spot for that vibroacoustic frequency between 30 and 60 hertz. Yeah.
Let's go next to Eric, truck driving where? In Indiana. Hello, Eric.
Hello, George. How are you tonight?
Okay, everything's good. Thanks.
Great. I just wanted to say, tell you about a little experience I had in church one time, and I really loved this church. We don't go there anymore because it's not there anymore, but we was all worshiping the Lord and standing up and singing to this. And I try to think of the name of this song. I tried to think of the name of the guy that was singing the song, but the words was, "Holy is the Lord God Almighty." And But it just went through me like an experience, like when I had my eyes shut, and when I opened my eyes, it's just like a real foggy haze in the room. You could just tell that the Holy Spirit was rolling in that place, but just because, I guess, of the music part of it.
I think so, too. Let me ask you about Gregorian chants, Jonathan. How come they have that incredible ability to make people just feel good?
Among other things, it's and a lot of that is the work of a guy named Alfred Tomatis. He was the first guy who talked about Gregorian chants, and that they basically create frequencies that charge the ear. We don't have time for me to tell you a really cool story that's in my book, Healing Sounds, but the bottom line is that they have these harmonics that do indeed charge the ear and the brain, and also the intervals, the relationship between the two voices when they're singing has this really incredibly soothing effect. I can talk about it, but as you know, when you listen to it, something's going on.
Absolutely. Tell us more again about the 20th annual World Sound Healing Day you've got coming.
It's happening on Valentine's Day. It's the 20th. It's February 14th. And if you go to worldsoundhealingday.org, you can find out any of the hundreds of different events that are going on. They're free. You can just check out what's going on with different people, and you can experience it. And just all that we ask is that if you're presenting an event or if you're experiencing it, do it with the energy of gratitude and appreciation. That's all you need to make the world a little better.
Jonathan, when you were talking about the humming, you also mentioned concentrating on certain things. So let's say you have a sore back, for example. You just concentrate on your back? You think about that? How would you work that?
It's an amazing phenomenon, George. And basically, the more you hum, the easier it is to just be able to project the sound to the part of your body that you want. You can change it a little bit with the pitch going, You can experiment that, and you'll feel it vibrate, but also just focusing your intention. You can put different colors or geometric forms into the sound as you're doing it. I have this formula, which is frequency plus intent equals healing. Frequency plus intent equals healing. And I share with you now at the end of the show, it's very, very important. Back in the 1980s when I first came up with it, it was really strange, and now it's more important than ever.
Great job, Jonathan. And where do people get your book, The Humming Effect?
Amazon's got it. And, I invite them to come to my website, healingsounds.com. There's all sorts of freebie downloads and information and all sorts of great information. So come to healingsounds.com. It's a really good website.
All right, my friend, you keep in touch with us, okay?
Many blessings. Many thank you for this opportunity, George.
Absolutely. Well. Jonathan Goldman, again, his website's all linked up at coasttocoastam.com. The book we've been talking about tonight is called The Humming Effect. Interest is fascinating. It really is. It's something that is well worth trying. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Ladasur, Stephanie Smith, Chris Boros, Tim Banal, George Napany, and Punnett, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.